Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
And now, here is Walter Bingham.
Hello and welcome to the program for the 29th of September 2020, which in the Hebrew calendar is the 11th of Tishri. We have now entered the Jewish New Year 5781. And unlike some other faith, we did not celebrate with fireworks, elaborate parties, or excessive alcohol. We prayed for forgiveness of our sins against God and hoped that during the 10 days of repentance that followed Rosh Hashanah, God has heard our prayers, and that yesterday on Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, God has forgiven our sins and sealed us in all the good books. It must be stressed that this applies only to transgressions against God. Any wrongdoing against our fellow man can only be forgiven by the person who was wronged. Only if he or she does will God forgive those too. It is an anti-Semitic libel that Jews can all year long do wrong to non-Jews and then be forgiven on Yom Kippur. Today I want to mention a number of current events that for me are significant. I can do no better than begin by quoting from an article by David Isaac in World Israel News. Israel's Supreme Court appears to be on a mission to erase any doubts within the Israeli public that it has been corrupted by politics, end of quote. That has been evident in very many of their judgments about disputes between Palestinian Arabs and their Jewish neighbors, as well as in legal disagreements with the decisions of our legislators in the Knesset. We hear almost every week of indictments or judgments that have political undertones. Only this month there was the case of Mitzpe Kramin, a Jewish settlement on a hilltop in Samaria. It was established in 1999 with government approval and houses some 40 families. Now, the Supreme Court ordered its evacuation because it is claimed to be on Arab land. I argue that there is confusion on which law Arab claims is based. The law of the Ottoman Empire that ruled this land 130 years ago? Surely that cannot apply in our state. Hear the answers after the break.
Always challenging the status quo. Hello, I'm Rod Bryant on Beyond the Matrix here at IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. I want to encourage you to listen each week, every Wednesday at the same time, for an amazing show that will challenge you, inform you, and inspire. News, views, and wisdom for the nations here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com. Don't forget, Beyond the Matrix every week, Wednesday, here on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
And now, here is Walter Bingham.
There is confusion on which law the Arab claims are based. The 120-year-old Ottoman law? Surely that cannot apply to our state. Or under the Jordanian law, on the basis of which, while Jordan illegally occupied the so-called West Bank between 1948 and 1967, they illegally distributed parcels of land to Arabs in contravention of the fact that the 1948 British withdrawal in favor of the Jewish state meant that the land became Jewish state land, and that the old Ottoman law and illegal Jordanian law are void. I believe that therefore there can be no legitimate Arab claim on our land. Of course, Israel does not exercise ethnic cleansing. So, taking a pragmatic view, their villages and a reasonable proportion of agricultural land will remain in their hands. But their illegal expansion must be halted, and uncultivated land, regardless of location, must be legally available for Jewish settlement. The fact that the court unusually allowed 3 years during which the order to evacuate may be executed is a sign that they provided time for extensive appeals, which to me means that they may have doubts about their judgment. Prime Minister Netanyahu wrote, "I regret the mistaken High Court of Justice decision on the evacuation of Mizpe Kramim. I have instructed the Prime Minister's Office Director General Ronen Peretz to meet with representatives of the community. We will exhaust all processes in order to leave the residents in their place, and we are convinced that we will succeed." The High Court showed that the judgments are not blind, but politically motivated. Our judges have demonstrated the truth of the Midrash, the ancient rabbinic interpretation of scripture by our sages, Midrash Tanhuma Metzora Siman 1, that Rabbi Elazar said, "Anyone who becomes merciful upon the cruel will end up by being cruel to the merciful." Now I read the following quote, but apologize for forgetting the origin. "It is unbelievable that Arab construction is allowed to run wild in the area of the so-called West Bank, including Area C, which is under full Israeli control, with the authorities slow to act or tolerating it. Yet at the same time, the authorities show zero tolerance to Jewish construction or settlement expansion. There are numerous cases in recent months and years when it seemed that, according to our courts, personal sidearms carried by licensed Jewish civilians are for decoration only. In too many cases, their discharge for self-defense, even aiming high, has been interpreted as unjustified, and the holder was brought before the court and found guilty, while the Arab who threatened him was looked upon as the victim, although he was not targeted. Only video evidence could change the verdict. Another example of biased judgment. Yet the court prevented a lawful military order to destroy the home of the terrorist who murdered IDF soldier Sergeant Amit Ben Yigal from being destroyed. The reason was that it would hurt the family, who, so they said, had no part in the murder. I wonder how they know. As I understood it, this argument can be applied in every case where the murderer lives with his family, and that deterrent is now removed. Caroline Glick noted that according to a poll in the Globe's newspaper last November, 72% of Israelis believe police and state prosecutors engage in selective law enforcement. It would not be difficult to list a lot more cases. Then there are many documented instances where the High Court assumed the powers of a legislator and overturned laws legally legislated by the Knesset. I repeat again, it is high time for the wings of the High Court to be clipped. Our scientists, like those in a host of laboratories around the world, are working furiously to find an effective vaccine that will halt the pandemic of COVID-19. Israel is not alone in trying to balance the economy with efforts to achieve a low morbidity. While it is imperative to allow the economy to function even in a reduced form, it is not easy to be achieved without inconvenient restrictions to the population. Our government has decided to appoint the eminent expert in public health, Professor Ronnie Gamzu, to oversee, advise and suggest methods to help to arrest the speed of transmission, particularly within Arab and Israeli neighborhoods and areas where religious communal activities are prevalent. Among his other extensive medical qualifications, Professor Gamzu was a Director General of the Israeli Ministry of Health, where he served for 4 years until 2014, and he was appointed then as Senior Health Policy Analyst in the OECD in Paris. You would think that once appointed, members of the government who have no medical knowledge would want to follow the advice of their appointee. It is a constitutional convention in parliamentary systems that members of the cabinet must publicly support all governmental decisions made in cabinet, even if they do not privately agree with them. That is known as cabinet collective responsibility or as collective ministerial responsibility. But this is Israel, where every minister, and we have dozens, has his own opinion and believes that it is his right to express it publicly. The result is what we experience today in the handling of the COVID pandemic. Directives are changed literally by the hour, as happened this week. Lockdown of designated localities quickly changed to night curfew, under pressure from some ministers. That also has been countermanded. And today, Monday, as I prepare this program, there is still uncertainty about the situation during the upcoming festival period. Enter Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. His main concern, understandably, is his own political survival, and that may also help to stave off his legal difficulties. To that end, he is trying to play both ends against the middle, which means to get opposing people to fight or disagree so that he will get an advantage from the situation and then he will make the decisions. That unfortunately obtains here. Netanyahu needs the support of the religious parties and they are revolting against the restrictions that affect the yeshivot, the Jewish educational study centers, and synagogue services, particularly during the upcoming high holidays. Certain voices accuse Netanyahu of giving in to pressure exerted by Haredi, that's ultra-Orthodox, parties. One left-wing Meretz Knesset member put it like this. It's a simple equation. Netanyahu gives them whatever they desire, and in return they keep him out of jail, referring to the Prime Minister's upcoming trials. What happens to public well-being, he asked. Of course, Netanyahu's legal matters come first. We all know that restrictions hurt, but the alternative would be having to live with this virus and its consequences of suffering and unnecessary death until a safe vaccine can be found. Whilst numerous laboratories work on the problem and many predictions are being floated, there is no telling when that will end. While all this is going on, our Prime Minister is deserting the heavily listing ship in favour of a photo opportunity with President Trump at the signing of the UAE-Israel MUA, Memorandum of Understanding. Yes, that's all it is in my view, until we see the UAE embassy in Jerusalem. Then there is the Serbia-Kosovo peace treaty, which had an effect on Israel. Briefly, the background is that the Serbian province of Kosovo unilaterally declared its independence in February 2008, and since then, the two countries have been at war. The Serbian Slobodan Milosevic and Ratko Mladic regime committed war crimes in Kosovo, and the International Court of Justice sentenced Mladic to life imprisonment. Milosevic died during the trial. Now President Trump brought their two current leaders together to sign a peace treaty. Serbia did so reluctantly. Up to now, Israel did not recognize Kosovo because that would set a precedent for recognition of an independent state of Palestine. But as we always do, as Trump says, Israel has now recognized Kosovo. But there is a price. Serbia, who is keen to have good relations with Israel and was preparing to establish an embassy here, now retracted because of Israel's recognition of Kosovo, who will bring their embassy here. The diplomatic world has nooks and crannies that are not easy to negotiate.
Everybody, making a difference often takes just one moment and one person at a time. I am Orly Benny Davis, your show host on Israel News Talk Radios from Jerusalem with love. You'll be hearing people talking about politics, religion, social issues, and making a better tomorrow. Join me, Orly Benny Davis, for God and Country from Jerusalem with love.
Wednesdays on Israel News Talk Radio.
Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Did you know this psalm and many others were composed by a Jewish shepherd and musician who later became a king? Would you like to know some of the inner meanings of psalms to help you connect with God and strengthen your soul? An exciting and easy-to-read book is now available, which will help you do just that. Software for the Soul, Psalms for Everyone, available on Kindle, Audible, and Amazon.com. Software for the Soul.
Modesty at the beach? It isn't just about body image. It's about feeling good. Modest swimsuits, so we don't get burned by the sun.
So we won't get ogled by strangers.
So we'll feel free to express ourselves without the need to expose ourselves.
Let Marcy Modest help you to cover up what you want, how you want.
Made in Israel.
Visit MarcyModest.com. That's M-A-R-S-E-A Modest.com.
And get a 10% discount on your first purchase.
And now, here is Walter Bingham.
Did you know that all the ills of the world are President Trump's fault? I mean, the alleged global warming, the increased spread of the coronavirus, and the suckers who die in war. Those are some of the subjects that are used by the Biden election campaign to defame President Trump. Any right-minded and reasonably intelligent person, I mean not warped by the socialist rhetoric, can see through the transparent nonsense disseminated to the gullible younger generation. Let me evaluate those three matters blamed on Trump. Global warming. It's true that most recently the dry season has seen more extensive wildfires, particularly in the US, than was the norm in previous years. It's also true, if I'm to believe some of the meteorologists, that the mid-Atlantic Ocean has started more hurricanes than have devastated the American Gulf Coast during the previous decade. We have also experienced long periods of high temperatures during the summer month. Many of today's scientists and some of their know-all commentators are stating with an arrogant certainty that the climate phenomena of the 21st century are caused by increased concentrations of greenhouse gases in the atmosphere, produced mainly from human activities. They list carbon dioxide, a byproduct of fossil fuel combustion, as the principal greenhouse gas contributing to global warming. Other gases, like nitrous oxide and methane, also caused global warming, they claim. The notorious U.S. Congresswoman Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez introduced the Green New Deal, which she claims, when implemented, will reduce global warming. That includes changing the design of buildings, totally alter methods of travel, which by extension would eliminate air travel, and I cannot imagine how to get around in the U.S. or the world for that matter. Then there will be a change in what we eat, which would exclude beef or other animal food. The reason is that particularly cows, but also other animals, expel methane gas, to put it politely. There is already a shortage of food to feed the world's population, and under the Green New Deal, many pesticides and fertilizers will be prohibited because they disperse into the atmosphere. Yes, the result is more healthy food for the United States, but less for the Third World. Make your own cost-benefit analysis. All part of the effort to halt the supposed climate change. But is climate change so unusual? The Earth climate has changed throughout history. Just in the last 650,000 years, there have been 7 cycles of glacial advance and retreat, with the abrupt end of the last ice age about 11,700 years ago, marking the beginning of the modern climate era and of human civilization. So there were no fossil fuels being burned then. Most of these climate changes are attributed to very small variations in the Earth orbit that change the amount of solar energy our planet receives. From the year 1303 to 1860, we experienced the Little Ice Age, when temperatures dropped as much as 2 degrees Celsius. In an article on the subject in the New Yorker, John Lanchester wrote, and I quote, "We know for sure that the Earth became cooler. The evidence can be found through a variety of techniques for assessing historical temperatures, such as the study of ice cores and tree rings. There are also extensive written accounts of the cold in the form of letters and diaries, sermons, the records of vine growers, and so on. The cooling happened in phases, with an initial drop beginning around 1300 and a sharper and more abrupt onset of cold starting in 1570 and lasting for about 110 years. Who can prove beyond doubt that we are not experiencing another cycle? It's simple. It's President Trump's fault because he's not convinced of climate change. Yet he's only expressing his view. He's not stopping anyone from trying to find the elusive and incontrovertible proof. But think about it. What influence on the world's climate will the Green New Deal have in California, or in the whole US for that matter, if the cows in the rest of the world continue to fart? Don't these misguided idealists know that China is the world's greatest polluter? And do they believe that they can change them? Everywhere in the world there are areas where open wood fires are the means of heating and cooking. The Palestinian Arabs are claiming to be civilized, yet right on our doorstep, every day in the areas of the West Bank, controlled by them, they light large fires to burn their garbage instead of dealing with it the way Israel does. I shudder to think of the air pollution over Israel if they were in control of all of the areas they claim for their state. Only if all the world would reduce its pollution would a change in the climate be possible, and that only if we discount the theory of cycles. Then there is the novel coronavirus, also blamed on Trump. First of all, the whole world is affected because China, where that virus originated, kept its existence secret as long as it was possible. It has not been established whether it was developed as a possible chemical weapon and escaped the laboratory in the city of Wuhan by accident, or if it was an innocent mistake that was kept secret for fear of repercussions. In either case, China is to blame for the spread. But what and when did President Trump know the seriousness of that virus? New revelations from his interview with Bob Woodward early in the coronavirus crisis are raising a new set of questions. He admitted to be aware of the seriousness, but decided to play it down so as not to create panic. I'd be interested to hear from listeners if he was right or wrong. Please write to walter.israelnationalradio@gmail.com, where you will always get my personal reply, or leave your comment in the appropriate place below the Walter's World page on the website. Whatever the case, Western governments and their most experienced epidemiologists were uncertain of the best policy to arrest the spread of this novel virus that initially affected the frail and those with serious underlying medical conditions. Different theories were suggested and tested, from total lockdown with minimal human contact to let the virus take its course, that the young will be infected but develop antibodies, and by that method the virus can be neutralized until an effective vaccine can be provided. Unfortunately, in some elderly and sick, the coronavirus may combine with and deteriorate their pre-existing condition and accelerate death, which was readily accepted for the good of the many. This utilitarian approach was practiced in Sweden until they were disappointed by their result. The method that favors the survival of the fittest is Nazi theory. I believe that they now reverted to isolation because only that can hold the epidemic. Now a word about the latest instructions to residents of Israel, which are varied from day to day. They are excessively long, very detailed, and extremely confusing. Several things stick out like a sore thumb. Demonstrations were allowed, but religious services during these important festivals are severely restricted. Movement is allowed within 500 meters of one's residence, and then it changed to 1 kilometer. But what constitutes a residence? Does it have to be the permanent home, or can it be a temporary place of abode? Shopping is allowed beyond the kilometer, which opens the door to abuse. There are many more such clauses with loopholes that make it very difficult to monitor and enforce. And now another of Democrat Biden's new ideas, the care for veterans. Never during his 10,000-strong rallies did President Trump fail to talk about the appreciation that is due to war veterans who fought to defend their country. He stressed time and again his intention to ensure that they are well cared for by the United States Department of Veterans Affairs, and I was, of course, not present when Trump allegedly made the remarks about suckers and other derogatory comments about war veterans that have been attributed to him. But going back over his speeches, it is very clear that such remarks are totally out of character and a smear campaign in the absence of substantial arguments to counter his re-election campaign. In any case, several prominent, high-ranking persons who were with the president on the trip in question have attested that they did not hear Trump make any such comments, and that includes John Bolton, not exactly a friend of Trump. Listening to the speeches of the Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden, I hear them as echoes of Trump's words. Whether Biden talks about revitalizing the economy, or caring for the veterans, or bringing jobs back from abroad, or rewarding manufacturing plants that are returning, many of his important policies are taken from President Trump's agenda, or indeed copying what Trump has already achieved. Seldom does Biden take questions from journalists. It seems that he needs to know them in advance to read his reply from the teleprompter, as he did recently when he was heard to ask the teleprompter operator to move it on. Keep it here, there's more.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
This is Shai Ben-Tekoa, and each week I'll be webcasting to you from Judea, origin of the word Jew, a people besieged and beleaguered in every generation. Nazi Germany is but a memory, but in its place the world invented the phantom Palestinians as this generation's internationally authorized Jew killers. Tune in for a different slant on life in Israel, Phantom Nation, every Monday.
Hi, I'm Rabbi David Aaron. The soul basics are the most profound, the most essential, and yet often the most neglected in our education. Join me for Soul Talk on Israel's News Talk Radio and discover the secrets to love, spiritual growth, and personal power.
How did a nice Jewish girl from Delaware end up living in Israel?
Shalom, I'm Natalie Sapinski. Join me on my show, Returning Home. Meet different people who have moved to Israel. Hear their personal stories, their highs, their lows, and everything in between. Each week, we talk to experts on immigration and the process of moving to Israel. Listen to Returning Home every Thursday, only on Israel News Talk Radio.
And now, here is Walter Bingham.
Now, some comments about the White House event where the peace deal between Israel and the UAE was signed, as well as the Abraham Accord that included Bahrain and is expected to lead to a full peace treaty. In his ceremonial speech, Trump added that the Abraham Accord would open the door for Muslims, Jews, and Christians to live together, pray together, and dream together. Following those words, I expected an announcement that Jews can set up a house of prayer on the Temple Mount, but those words were absent from any of the speeches. We are just allowed to dream. Instead, we heard a direct reference to a Palestinian state from the representative of Bahrain, and speaking on the Good Morning Israel program on Galei Tzahal Radio, the ambassador of the United Arab Emirates to the United Nations stated, halting the annexation is part of this agreement in order to allow the viability of a two-state solution. And now, the King of Bahrain, in his address to the United Nations General Assembly, called for a two-state solution to end the Israeli-Palestinian conflict and the establishment of a Palestinian state with East Jerusalem as its capital. He concurs with the conditions stated by the UAE that Israel halts the annexation of Palestinian lands. That was a price not worth paying, because the establishment of relations was brought about by the Iranian plans to effect hegemony over the Gulf area. As both the UAE and Bahrain considered it in their interest to join with Israel as the strongest military power in the region, they would sooner rather than later have made the same agreement, even if Israel would not have accepted the restrictions on annexation or sovereignty in Judea and Samaria. We appreciate the tremendous friendship of President Trump, who was instrumental in that, but Israel should conduct its foreign policy in our interest and on a long-term basis rather than looking just 4 years ahead. All that even under Trump's administration. Under Biden, we would definitely have a continuation of the Obama policy as expressed this week by former Secretary of State John Kerry, who categorically said there will be no peace in the Middle East until there is a Palestinian state. As we are used from Netanyahu's modus operandi, the Israeli public was left totally in the dark about the conditions of the deal. Today I hear that the F-35 stealth fighter will be delivered to the UAE before the end of the year. I'm convinced that Netanyahu will not emerge unscathed from his trial for allegedly being dishonest. It may be that he will also have to spend time in the dark. He would not be the only Israeli prime minister who fell foul of the law. If found guilty, the court cannot be seen to pass only community service, because that would expose the prime minister to danger. He must still be heavily protected. It is now slowly emerging that the declaration of Jewish sovereignty in Judea and Samaria and the Jordan Valley were sacrificed by Netanyahu to lay the groundwork for the intention to establish a Palestinian state, which would be another feather in Trump's cap. All that amounts to yet another Netanyahu lie to the people whom he is supposed to lead with transparent truth. I'm sure that President Trump would want nothing better than to achieve the establishment of a Palestinian state to add to his collection. Like for all statesmen, the interest of his country supersedes all so-called friendships. It must be understood that if the establishment of a Palestinian state came about, Israel would lose its QME, its qualitative military edge. Of course, it would be established as a demilitarized state, but for how long? A sovereign state will try to negate any dictate. In 1936, Hitler defied the Versailles Treaty and marched into the demilitarized Rhineland. Palestinian troops alone would not be a threat, but what would stop a Palestinian government to invite the Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps or any other foreign country to establish a base in the middle of Israel? I know this sounds gloomy and pessimistic, but it's a scenario that must be a subject for discussion. Israel must also prepare for a possible Biden victory in the US presidential election and even democratic control of both houses of Congress. Although strenuously denied by the Democrats, such a result would seriously affect Israel's favorite state relationship with the US. I therefore believe that it was remiss of Prime Minister Netanyahu not to meet with the Democrat nominee for American president while he was in the United States. We have for the time being lost our opportunity to declare sovereignty over the rest of our country, not because of the new peace agreement with the UAE, but because of the disunity in the cabinet. No wonder, with so many ministers each wanting to force his opinion. Now we must not waste time again, but act decisively to effect a regime change in Gaza. We owe it to our long-suffering brothers and sisters in the so-called Gaza Belt. Now something very important. At the end of every program, I remind you to visit the elderly. Some of you may already be fed up with hearing it, but let me show you how important that is. In Israel alone, 120 elderly people who lived alone were found dead in their home during the past 3 months. The latest was found this week, and only after neighbors smelled an unpleasant odor. He fell almost 2 weeks before, and nobody heard his cries for help. So please check on your elderly neighbors, not only once in a while, but every day. It only takes a minute, and you might save a life. Thank you. Now, I've often spoken about the case of Malka Leifer, the Australian woman accused of 74 alleged sex crimes at an ultra-Orthodox school in Melbourne where she was a teacher. For the past 6 years, she's been a fugitive in Israel, and her extradition proceedings went from court to court, from appeal to appeal, and from psychiatrists to psychiatrists, and even to private investigators who followed her around during her daily routine and disproved her claim to be mentally unfit. The last court decision this week finally declared her fit for extradition. But that still does not seem to be the end, according to her lawyers, who believe that there are still grounds for appeal. Justice Minister Nissenkorn said, "I will sign the extradition order once the Supreme Court rules on the matter." This case is a gaping wound for the alleged victims and for the Australian government as a whole. The decision reached by the district court was clear. Israel must not become a place where fugitives flee justice. When will we get rid of this unnecessary expense? Now, news just in. It's interesting that it takes an opinion poll showing a dramatic fall in the Knesset seats for Likud if an election were held today for Netanyahu to consider reverting to his policy declared in May. It was then that he promised to effect sovereignty for the major Jewish population centers in Judea and Samaria immediately after the formation of a government, and that implies building expansion. But as we know, to our cost, Netanyahu's promises are dependent on his popularity with his international political peers, in particular Donald Trump. So he agreed to suspend sovereignty in favor of the UAE and Bahrain deals, which would bring him more kudos. Realizing that his popularity, even within his Likud party, is falling, he is now proposing to circumvent the freeze on building in the territories as agreed in the UAE deal and build 5,000 housing units in those areas. But the Planning Council for Judea and Samaria is under the oversight of alternate Prime Minister Gantz, who, when it will eventually meet after several months, will no doubt influence its decision. Should that fail, then, as we know, there is always the Supreme Court to rely on to vote against anything benefiting the Yeshua communities. So it can be safely assumed that Netanyahu's rabbit stays firmly in the hat and there is no cause for jubilation. And with that, I end today's program. I hope to be back again next week, same time, same place, with more from Israel and the Jewish world. Until then, this is Walter Bingham, wishing all my Jewish listeners a healthy and happy 5781. And may you have been inscribed in all the good books. And to all my non-Jewish listeners, I wish a good and healthy week, clear from Corona. Goodbye.
Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. Just click the orange button at the top of the IsraelNewsTalkRadio.home page, log in as yourself or an anonymous guest, and join in on the fun. You'll meet other listeners from all over the world who listen to Israel News Talk Radio, and you can make new friends. Israel News Talk Radio's chat room. It's the closest you can get to being in the studio with us.
We love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candle lighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
If you love Israel News Talk Radio, then you'll love our Facebook page. We keep you up to date on what's happening in Israel, plus little surprise treasures that we don't share on the radio. Go now to follow us on Facebook. Just look for the Israel News Talk Radio Facebook page, and don't forget to subscribe and follow us by clicking on the like button. We post great stuff there that you'll want to share. Israel News Talk Radio on Facebook and Israel News Radio on Twitter.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.